Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We can start our usual puja. Just compose your mind. Make sure the sadha or the faith is very stable. Because this spiritual faculty is the most important. When you have faith very strong, your mind will be very calm, very peaceful, very composed. And it can help you to receive a lot of good energy. Then it will bring about the subsequent spiritual faculty, especially sati, mindfulness. When the mind is calm, peaceful, and composed, it's easy to be mindful. Then you can develop the understanding of who the Buddha is, how special he is, and how wonderful his teaching is. Your virya will be very strong too. Then when you compose your mind and pay respect mindfully, sati will develop. Okay, we will do that. We pay respect to the Buddha 3 times. Then after that, we will start the Theravada Puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panātipatthā viramane sikkhāpadaṃ samādiyāmi. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadhatana. Viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we'll start. Okay, just relax yourself and maintain some form of attention. Okay, so tonight, anybody who is first time attending my class? Nobody? Everybody here before? Alright, good. So we can save some time. Okay, so by now I believe most of you would have understood how you can actually develop the meditation. Always remember, you only need to do two things. First, train your mind, to develop the mindfulness, the sati. Then stabilize that. Then after that, the second part is to use this mind that is trained to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So when you combine these two training, you develop what the Buddha called heedfulness. Heedfulness is a very important quality that you must constantly develop. When you are heedful, the Buddha said, you are destined for enlightenment. Dhammapada verse 21 is very clear. The Buddha repeated it many, many times. It is the first verse within the Appamadavagga, means the section on heedfulness. The opening verse, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. You have to reflect and contemplate until you understand the importance of this Dhammapada verse, this saying, so that you will know the danger of heedlessness. Because the moment you are heedless, which most living beings are, I tell you, 90% over, the moment you are heedless, you are as if dead. That's it, spiritually dead. You forget about meditation, because if you are heedless, you cannot meditate. You can do all sorts of meditation. It doesn't bring you anywhere, except maybe for some very different type of peace, calmness, and meditative experiences and state. You can even go into psychic field and all those things. But as far as the Buddha is concerned, the spiritual life, to develop the wisdom, to understand life, to live life, will not be there. So that shows the importance of heedfulness. So heedfulness got two parts. The mind that is trained and has sati or mindfulness. When you are mindful, there is no thought. So mindfulness is very important. The moment you are silent, always remember, you are already aware or mindful. You don't have to try to be mindful. But the trouble with living beings is, like the Buddha explained, you cannot be silent. Your mind think a lot, because there is a lot of avijja or ignorance. So the law of dependent origination, or sometimes they call it the paticca samuppada or dwelling. The Buddha already explained very clearly the first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara. Avijja is ignorant. So he said, dependent on ignorance, you will start to think or create activity of mind. Sankhara is mental formation, mental activity, mental construct, or everything that your mind can do. The thinking part, the movement, the emotion. So all this will make you restless. When you have ignorance or delusion, you think a lot. And all this thinking come about because the five mental hindrances, they are very strong within the heedless people. So when you have very strong these five mental hindrances, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative states of peace and calm. So the five sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt, are the hindrance that hinders you from becoming peaceful. So like the word hindrance denote, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. So the Buddha said, you have to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty to overcome them. But human beings' problem is they don't understand. So when they were told about the five hindrances, or even when they are not told, when they experience this, they try to fight it. Understand? They try to do something to control it or to do away with it. But that is not the way, to fight the hindrance. You need wisdom. You need spiritual faculty. Once you develop spiritual faculty, the wisdom will be there. The hindrance just has no more condition to arise. So that's why your focus should be to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. They are called spiritual faculty because they can help you to develop spiritual understanding. It's a special faculty of the mind. And we call it spiritual because it can bring about spiritual understanding, leading to the enlightenment. And these five spiritual faculty are like something that you can understand through common sense. The first one is Sada, Sada or faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who he is, how wonderful and special the Buddha is. He's the fully enlightened one. Then his teaching is so beautiful. It can bring about great transformation in the living beings, leading to enlightenment in the here and the now, so that suffering need not be, so that you will understand clearly what life is. Then from there, the other spiritual faculty will unfold. The moment you have sadha, faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching and yourself, you know how to move. Then that virya will come, spiritual zeal, leading to your cultivation of mindfulness. It will lead you, it will drive you to cultivate mindfulness. And mindfulness is very easy to develop. Always remember, the moment you are silent, you are already mindful. So initially, you cannot be silent. You cultivate spiritual faculty with sadha, faith. That's why this Buddha Puja, all that you do is the Buddha's way of teaching you how to cultivate the spiritual faculty. And when the spiritual faculty is there, sati will be there, mindfulness will be there. And when you pay respect to Lord Buddha with the sadha or the confidence, you just body and mind move as one, together with the faith, without thought, and that is mindfulness. And you can do that often. Mindfulness will develop on its own. Then you bring this state into your daily life. You try to be aware of every movement, every action in the present moment, just like you bow. Your body and mind move as one. Body and mind, understand? Mind and action as one. Mind and movement as one. Then when you see things also, the phenomena and the mind as one. When you aware, you don't think. Understand? So today I'm teaching you something that you can really understand and move into mindfulness very fast. You don't have to really go and waste your time training and training and training. But you need to develop spiritual faculties. Then after that, when sati is there, when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi on its own. Samadhi means unwavering. When the mind is collected and unwavering, it has samadhi. Then every time you experience something through your senses, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something or tactile feeling thing, your mind is not like before. You don't react anymore because it has samadhi, which means it is unwavering at the moment of sense experience, is collected. That's why the mind with samadhi, sati and samadhi, can see things as they are without any distortion, without any conditioning from your views and opinion. Then you are no longer heedless, because sati and samadhi will make you heedful. And because you can do that, you can see things clearly. You can see the truth and the reality as they are. You can see things as they are. And you can also insight into the characteristics of all phenomena. The universe are characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. Or in Pali, they call anicjam, dukkham, and anatta. And this is not difficult when you are already mindful or heedful. It will arise. You will awaken to the characteristics of nature. So this is how you develop wisdom. And once wisdom is developed, the five spiritual faculties complete, the hindrance will cease to be. And then you become heedful automatically. You don't need to train anymore. So going back to the cultivation, always remember, not only once a week you come here and train your mind. This is useful, but it will not bring you far. Because after that, you go back. If throughout the day you become heedless again, it doesn't really make much difference to your cultivation. That's why even people who go for long retreat, no use. The moment they are out of the retreat, they cannot do the daily mindfulness. They cannot develop heedfulness. Again, they are as if dead. So a lot of this understanding will unfold on its own when you already develop the daily mindfulness, when you have cultivated them and stabilized them. So after explaining this though, what I want you to really understand is, you go back, you must plan your meditation or your cultivation. It can be done together with life, while working, while going about doing your daily chores and performing your duty as a career person, or even as a housewife, as the breadwinner or whatever. In fact, life itself can be the meditation when you understand how to cultivate sati or mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Throughout the day, you can meditate. Even while you want to rest and sleep, you can meditate. So meditation is something that you need to clearly understand. That's why you must understand what is meditation and why are you here sitting. If you don't understand, then practically you're wasting your time. So we are here to train our mind. That's why I teach you all the usual technique. Mind sweeping method combined with metta. This is to decondition the heedless mind so that you only feel and relax, silent, so that the thinking heedless mind will slow down or has the what they call opportunity to decondition the heedless thinking through training your mind to be aware. Just feel relaxed, feel relaxed, no more thinking. Then after that, when you are able to be more calm, more peaceful, more relaxed and silent, and then you train your mind to stabilize that mindfulness. So during that training, you can either use any object of meditation that you are familiar with. If you got none, you can use your breathing, like what the Buddha recommend. The breathing or anapanasati, mindfulness or in and out breath, is very easy to develop and is suitable for most people because this is a very neutral object of meditation and our breath is always within the moment. That's why as long as you are silent and just aware of this in and out breath, anapanasati will stabilize your mindfulness. So after a while, all of the mind state leading to tranquility will arise. Initially, you will realize some form of peace, which they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual peace, leading to rapture or joy. Then as you continue to relax and silence your mind and allow the mindfulness to be without fighting, without reacting, just patient, allow it to be, then this piti will become more and more refined, accumulating into what they call sukha. Sukha is a spiritual bliss, very very calm state, very blissful state. Mm. And this state is actually not an enlightenment factor. Not like pity. Pity is a factor of enlightenment, can lead to enlightenment. But sukha, if you attach, it becomes an attachment. It becomes a craving, a desire. You like it. Yeah. So when you go through sukha, you need to completely understand what that state is. Because your purpose of meditation is not just to develop peace or calmness or bliss. This is just a byproduct of meditation. Your purpose and intent is to use that trained mind to develop wisdom through meditation. So you will continue to allow this sukha to be until finally the mind becomes very, very still, very quiet. They call it tranquility or pasadi. Pasadi is a silent mind. This is the meditative mind. This is the mind that you need to develop. Then your daily mindfulness, everything will come to you. Then when you are able to stabilize this pasadi, very easy to meditate. Mm. Throughout the day, you will be in sati. Mm. So with that, I think we can start the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you just start. For those who still need instruction, maybe you try on your own first today. I will not give you any instruction unless somebody requests for it. So you just develop the meditation on your own. If you need to do the mind sweeping method combined with metta, then anapanasati, you do it, because it is useful if you are new. But for those who already know how to meditate, you already develop the routine and the experience, you just silence your mind, relax completely, then allow the mind to be, means let it settle down and allow the spiritual faculty to develop. Develop your faith, sadha, virya, then silence your mind to allow the sati to come. Then you just anchor it to anything that you can use to anchor the sati. If your breathing is very stable, then you stay there until the breathing becomes very subtle. Then you just silence everything. Finally, you will drop to the heart. For those who are already able to go to the heart, you just silence everything and stay at the heart. Then later on, you realize you don't need any object of meditation to be in sati. Sati is already a natural thing to you because your mind has developed the higher, more refined sati. So the mind is already in sati. So when the mind is already in sati, you are already in the meditative state. So no need any object of meditation. Then that time when you come out of it, you use it to live life, you will be very surprised. Every moment of sense experience, the mind that is in sati will see with sati, hear with sati, smell with sati, taste with sati, feel with sati, and even the arising of mental construct or thought or aggregate of mind. Moment to moment with sati, you will be able to see them. That's why the characteristics of nature become very clear. And all of the, what they call aggregates of mind, become very clear. Moment to moment, you can experience them. You can be at the moment of feeling, moment of perception, moment of activity of mind, moment of consciousness, moment of sankhara. Mm. All this becomes very easy and very clear. Okay, with now, you can start your meditation. I will ring the bell after about 15 to 20 minutes. Then we can start with the second session. Okay. But also still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Slowly and mindfully means slow down your mind. Be with the moment. As you open your eyes, as you try to be aware, become conscious again. As your bodily part starts to move, develop the awareness. Even your stretching, your movement, or body and mind as one. Just observe it, flow with it. And your mindfulness will become better and better. Even how you move your leg, how you move your hand. As I say, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. And this is training to be aware. Now I can slowly teach you this because you have developed some form of training. Then later on when you can do this, when you can anchor your mind to your kaya, your form, all of your movement activity, the mindfulness develop and stabilize by itself without you knowing it. Because when you are aware, like I said, the moment you are aware, there is no thought. Means you are already training your mind to be more heedful, more mindful. And when you are more heedful and more mindful, the natural thing will happen. You become less heedless. You think less. And because of that, you have clarity of mind. You have more movement of peace, calmness, happiness, joy. You see the advantages, the benefits of meditation starting to arise. But if you don't continue with this mindfulness or daily mindfulness, you cannot experience all this. Maybe you carry it on for a while, that peace, that calm, it lasts for a while. But the moment you come out, you start to be heedless again, you start to talk heedlessly, then do all those usual, what they call heedless activity, then you realize you're hardly aware, hardly mindful. That is heedlessness. Then the moment you come out of meditation, most of you, the thoughts start to come in. Your problem, your duty, this one, that one, you want to attend. You can still attend, but now aware, mindful, clarity, and the setup. So this is what mindfulness can lead to. And this aspect of daily mindfulness is seldom taught because very few people understand. Then later on when you can be mindful of all your physical body activity, kayana pasana, and when your mind stabilizes, develops deep, you will be very surprised one day. Everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, tactile, feel, or think, that mindfulness is there, automatic. Then the eye blink, you aware. Your hand movement, you aware. It's like slow motion. Then the passing car, you aware. The flow of all of phenomena within nature, like the plant, the trees, the wind, the breeze, everything you start to experience them through the awareness, silent mind, without thought. Then that mind that has this ability will merge into the oneness. And that will transform you completely because you start to see things that you never see before. And the understanding just unfold, keep on unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. That time no more theory. That time is the direct experiencing and seeing of all that is possible within your form and your mind. Then when you can be aware internally and externally, the whole of life becomes so different. So today, maybe I share this with you. Some of you may be ready to understand this. For those who still cannot, it's okay. Later, it will be recorded. So if you have patience, you continue to develop more time to train your mind, Then when you are free, listen to the Dhamma again. Then as your spiritual faculty develop and stabilize, you realize every time you listen to this Dhamma sharing again or Dhamma recording again, you understand it differently at a different level. And that is how you actually progress. Because before you have the daily mindfulness and the spiritual faculty, the five spiritual faculty develop, a lot of things you cannot understand. A lot of things that you may have heard before, but the meaning doesn't stand out. And it doesn't impact upon you. And you don't know how to move. But later on, as it arises, there is so much joy. Then you always like filled with gratitude and joy. Of course, at the same time, quite surprised that things has unfolded. Then you always have this question, how come last time I cannot understand, I cannot see? Because you are not serious last time, you are most of the time heedless. You had to move into heedfulness, that's it. If you don't go into that, very difficult for you to see the truth, the Dhamma. Very difficult for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. So this part is very useful. Then the other thing is also, I would like to thank those who helped to do the transcript. Today, I think I received one from Suyan. Or was it yesterday? I think yesterday. So for those who are doing it also, spend time, do it nicely. I will try to forward you a format so that it will become easier. We will have to come up with the heading and the title. I will send out one. Then after that, you are responsible for what time to what time the transcript. We will do it in a format so that it is very clear. So that when you forward to me, because the recording got the time there. The one that So Chu completed and sent to Brother Suyan and me, I received and I have started to listen. So I realized that one start 50 minutes, I think. But I don't know how his cutoff point is. It's immediately after the first part, then the meditation, and then 55 minutes, exactly we more or less start on the part 2, which we are going through now. And we call it the reporting of meditation, followed by Q&A, question and answer. So that part actually started, but what she started was a few minutes after that, I think. I don't know how they all go and partition it. Anyway, I have started from there, then I connect to where she start. So not bad, except first time she do, she still don't quite follow my format. So when you listen to it, then later on when the transcript come out, you will understand. Where the transcript is to smoothen all those English words that were used, because verbal is different. Verbal, when you put into direct transcript, you read, is funny. Unless you know how to read the way I read, or the way I express and share, because I have my style. But anyway, it's a great job. It's good. It's very wholesome, and I rejoice a lot. Then I have started, I think, completed 2 or 3 pages. It should turn out to be very beautiful, because the whole talk was very good. And after that transcript come out, you can understand very easily what I try to share on the Thursday class. Most of the things are there. The only thing is, you need to cultivate to understand them. So that is something that will be very beautiful. So I rejoice. I thank them for all those what they call volunteer. Because these are people who are very sincere, who wants to help, volunteer to do this transcript, because the wholesomeness that will arise is very, very powerful, and it can last very long, because this type of Dhamma, if it's done, it will be imprinted media together with the recording. So when people listen and read, the understanding can come and it will last very long. So this is something that is very beautiful. Because my earlier transcript also, I realized it has benefited many people. So as we move and evolve, there are times where you take and receive from people who pave the condition and create the supporting condition for you to receive. Like initially you receive all the what they call free Dhamma distribution, Dhamma books. Then when you go to temple, a lot of people help you how to fit in and all those things. Then people introduce you to the program and advise you on how to develop the cultivation and understanding. Then later on is your time to contribute back to society, to humanity, so that you can be a blessing to others. And this will be your meritorious action, and it will actually help you a lot in the future because of what you do. The fruition of it will be yours. That's why law of karma is very powerful. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. All of your wholesomeness, they will become your blessings, your merits. And all this, if you know how to use them, it can pave the way for you to have beautiful condition to walk the path of Dhamma and allow it to fulfill what you aspire to fulfill. So these are all very beautiful. Okay, now with that, maybe we continue with our second session, part two. So I will open it up to the floor. Anybody who wants to report his or her meditation, you are most welcome. Then followed by Q&A. Q&A, you know, question and answer. You can ask any question that you want to relating to the meditation, to the teachings of the Buddha, and to how you can make use of what you have learned here together with the Buddha Dhamma to help you understand life, overcome all of your problem and situation in life, so that whatever suffering that you encounter, you can develop the understanding or use the Dhamma to help you overcome and liberate your mind. Okay, tonight, anybody wants to report their meditation? No question. You all should ask question, because I don't see any question here. What is this one? Oh, where is it? Very small one. Oh. Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, yeah. It's up there. Correction on the question. Wish to find out more about thoughts on... Oh, I don't know how to read all this on Mandarin. Somebody must help me to read. Whereby they provide service to tap into Alaya Vijnanam consciousness to resolve clear the root of these 8 words. I don't know how to read. Then the other one. Jing Guan Xing Ling, this one roughly I can understand. Then the other four is what? Oh, Gou Tong, that one I understand. The first one is what?
Jing Guan.
What is Jing Guan? Means contemplate within, or what? Oh, through your still mind, you contemplate. Yeah? Xing Ling is your nature, is it? Yeah? This one is a Mahayana teaching. Okay, I read again. Correction on the question. Wish to find out more about thoughts, mainly thought. So, on the Mandarin words, Jing Guan, Xing Ling. Jing is quiet. Oh, yeah, I think so. The Liang Tian Sui Yuan. The Liang Tian Sui Yuan. Oh, not the steel, not steel. Oh, never mind, it's okay. Jing Guan, Xing Ling. So not the silent mind. So this one is clean. Never mind. Then the other one is, I forgot again. Oh, okay. What is the last two word? Shenzhen what? Oh, communication. Oh, the Mandarin word, I don't know how to read. Okay, never mind. After I try my best to explain to you. Whereby they provide service to tap into Alaya consciousness. This word you haven't heard before. The Mahayana use this word. They call it storehouse consciousness. Alaya, or the eight consciousness. Actually, no need to be so complicated. Sakya only teach the five aggregate. The five aggregate is what they are trying to express into the eight type of consciousness. I will try to explain that a bit. To tap into alaya vinyanang consciousness to resolve, clear the root of karmic effect, thus improving, reducing, understanding the suffering experienced in this lifetime. So this one is somebody's way of doing, understand not? There is no right, no wrong, understand not? Different people understand the Dhamma differently. So they thought this alaya consciousness need to be cleaned up, understand not? Need to be like he said, the karmic effect. You have to clean it up. Then you have to clear the roots of karmic effect. Thus improving, reducing, understanding the suffering experience in this lifetime. So in a way, if you know how to develop the wisdom to understand, then all this can be done. Understand not? But you must understand, it's not the doing, it's the understanding, the wisdom. Understand not? Don't try to clean anything. Without wisdom, you cannot clean. Yes. Wait, pass the mic to brother. Where's the other wireless mic? Where's the other wireless mic? Where is it? Oh, yeah, pass to him. Yes. Thank you. You don't mind. You repeat. You say you heard your friend.
I heard my friends came across this kind of services or what.
Yes.
Jing Guan is actually, for them, is a name of organizations.
Oh, okay.
They something like hypnosis or what. It's like they
hypnotism.
But they say when you're hypnotized, it's quite clear you are conscious. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know, see? But they say they lead you to see your past life.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then from past life,
they call it the past life regression.
Ah, yes, that's right. And then from there, you resolve whatever issue that you have.
Oh, okay.
On the incidents or persons.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. So, is this forward meant past life regression? Oh, is it? Oh, sure. Then I will have to explain it differently. Because, please, whatever I say is my understanding, okay? So don't go and argue with people. Because different people got different understanding. A lot of people are very interested in going into this past life regression. But of course, some of them claim that it has helped them tremendously. Then some of them cry. Then after that, they understand why they are like that. So because of their understanding, they overcome their fear, their traumatic, what they call phobia and all this thing. Then some of them claim that the coming, no more resolve. Whatever it is. Because I have heard of about, I not only heard, I listened to the recording because I was so curious, want to know what they do. So there is this past life regression. One of the nun who participated in it was, I think, Master Xuan Hua's student, past student. Then of course there were a lot of things. So this past life regression is like that. They like hypnotize you. So you know what is hypnotize? Chui mian in Mandarin. Hypnotize means what? No. Go into your subconscious and unconscious. So that you are not conscious. Then they lead you in. Then through auto-suggestion. They call it regression. Means bring you backward, bring you backward. Understand? They will normally start because you ask a question about certain thing, so they will start from there. Is it now you are in this quiet place or what? This is the year, what? What are you doing? Then after that, they prompt you with this question. Understand? You see, if you do this type of regression, actually, a lot depend on the person who prompt the question to you, isn't it? Correct, huh? Depend on how he understands and how much he's understanding it. And when the question is being prompt, that person in the so-called hypnotic state or what, there sometimes is this non-human inside there guiding them. You don't know. Then sometimes it's because of the subconscious thing, then it will express whatever that subconscious understands. But because that subconscious is also ignorant, that he or she, that subconscious during that time, believe that is what happened at that time. But because that consciousness at that time, sometimes when it's like when it's very young, because sometimes they go back to past life where they even ask until what now? When that person is in the womb. In the womb, you don't know anything. But it go in and can answer. Then before in the womb and all those things, a little bit. So to me, this is something that people like to be like interested in, and they can go into it. And if it can help people, no harm. But the Buddha never teach this way, understand? So forget about all this. This is what my personal view and opinion is. Because if you go into hypnotism, your this consciousness which is aligned inside to your form, if you are not careful, the alignment can be disturbed or affected. Then you are playing with the subconscious and the unconscious. You are not developing mindfulness to be aware of the reality in the moment, in the here and the now. The aligned consciousness, everything can be understood when you develop wisdom through daily mindfulness. Understand? When there is sati leading to the silent mind, the oneness, they will understand everything. You cannot use the thought on the mundane mind through inquiry or through reasoning or rationalization to go and clean it and do all those things. Understand or not? That's why finally you have to meditate, silent everything. Develop that awareness to understand what is going on. The unconscious, the subconscious and the conscious, you can understand them all. Because that nature can go into all these states. Yeah. That's why you can sleep, body rest. Understand? Then normally people would have like go into the unconsciousness, go into the unconscious state and snore and sleep. Understand? Then the subconscious mind arises because the brain is trying to develop order. So subconscious release in the form of dream and all those things. But when you have this awareness developed very stable, you can go into your sleeping state with full awareness. And the whole body can rest and relax and you can snore. You can be conscious of your own snoring, no problem. Then how the subconscious create, how the aggregate of mind arise, every moment, every instant inside, you can be aware. That's why there is the power of awareness, sati, the essence of mind, the silent mind, the true nature, that can understand all that. So this is what can bring about understanding and wisdom. So no need to play with all these things. Yeah. But of course, there are people who are trained in this. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to comment anything. Understand? If it helps, well, people want that, well and good. But to me, this is not a permanent fix. A permanent fix of the problem is true wisdom, nothing else. And finally, liberation from birth and death. Understand? A lot of them, they jump for joy and say, oh, I'll fix already. After a while, later part, problems start to arise again. And many things happen again. So it is up to the individual to understand and find out all these things. As far as cultivation is concerned, the purification of mind that the Buddha talk about, is to develop the factors of enlightenment to insight into all of the universal characteristics of nature so that there is no more delusion with regards to form and mind and the phenomenal world. Understand? Phenomenal world and the form and mind, the Buddha said, they all have these universal characteristics of impermanent anicca. If you grasp and cling and hold suffering, dukkha is the result. And because they are anicca, impermanent, they come and they go, condition arising, cause of phenomena. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I. Understand? So that's why it's anatta, non-self, empty. Anatta, the meaning is very deep, very, very deep. It's beyond non-self. Non-self is only the small aspect of anatta. Empty nature is a deeper meaning. Emptiness, that's why the Mahayana teaching on emptiness is very, very relevant and very close to what anatta is. That's why when you actually mindful and you recall what the Buddha said, he every time asked the monk to recite the five aggregate of form and mind in their morning chanting. Rupang anicchang, you heard of this, isn't it? Rupang is form. Form is impermanent. Anasana anicchang, condition arising, cause of phenomena, it come, it go, it arise and it pass away. All of form, mental form, within your seeing consciousness, visual form, within your, hearing, means all of form within your hearing consciousness. Visual form is within your vision. Then you got all the other type of form that you create through your other senses. Smell, taste, tactile and thought process. So when the Buddha talk about Rupang Anicchang, it's easy to understand that your form is empty. Form is impermanent. So That can be easily understood. Then he didn't say rupang dukkha, no. He straight away go and say rupang anatta, no. Understand, no? But rupang is form, like this table, understand, no? There is no life, understand, no? How can you say this table is non-self? Understand, no? Then rupang anatta. So anatta is not only non-self, no? Understand, no? Our physical form is connected to this consciousness, and then you say the human being is non-self, understand, no? Anatta. But when rupang is anatta, means what? Anatta has a deeper meaning of than non-self, right? Because there is no consciousness inside there, right? All of the mental form, rupang, also anatta, right? That's why you always say rupang anatta. Rupang anicang, rupang anatta. Then vedana also same feeling. Anicang, anatta. Then sanya, sankara, and vinyana, the five aggregate, they are impermanent, they are empty. Yeah. So when you understand that, then you know anatta, deep meaning, very deep meaning. That's why all this you will understand through your meditation. You don't need to wait for book to tell you and the monk to tell you. You will realize it yourself. So anatta is a very powerful understanding. And when you understand anatta, you're no more deluded, no more ignorant. That's why everything that comes within your field of vision or sense, consciousness and activity, you will understand them very clearly, yeah, for what they are. Then you understand what this form of mind is all about very clearly. So this is how it can enable you to develop the wisdom to free. That's why the Buddha's way is very different. He doesn't believe in psychic. He doesn't believe in fortune telling, understand? Mind reading and all those things. He doesn't believe in all those things. He doesn't believe in hypnotism, all those things. He just wants you to develop the true understanding of who you are, what you are, and what that nature is. Through what? Awareness, sati, mindfulness. That's all. Well, that is the one that can connect you back to your true nature, your essence of mind. All this teaching doesn't mean it serves no purpose, because Mahayana actually later on evolved out a lot of this teaching, just like the eight types of consciousness are. Now I explain this one, you will understand. The Mahayana said there are eight types of consciousness. So last time there was one group that followed me during the early day. They always have this problem, because when they meet the Mahayana, they say, ah, yeah, Theravada. You know, Theravada means what? Like primary school. Correct? Because they say orthodox tradition. Small vehicle. Hinayana. This one is Mahayana. But you don't understand the meaning, then you explain it wrongly, then it doesn't really mesh that understanding. So what they say is, we all Mahayana, that's why bigger, we got eight type of consciousness, you only five. So they say, ours more superior. Then they very curious, they come back and ask, really what they mean? They got eight type of consciousness, and they got this alaya consciousness, storehouse consciousness, wow, like very complicated. Then later on, I went and read the Mahayana text and sutta, because I don't know why somehow the text come to me. That's why Surangama Sutta, Ha Sutta all come to me. So I was lucky, because I English educated. Ask me to read Mandarin, I cannot. Close up. But Zhenhua, Master Zhenhua, he doesn't know English. But he went to America. His disciple all very good at English. So they translated his text. And because they translated his text, I got the English version here. And then I read through, I start to know what that thing is. Then I also see how a lot of things already run, because I came from the Theravada tradition. Yeah. And I'm proud to be associated with Theravada, because Theravada is very authentic. Understand? They are the, what they call, orthodox tradition, but they got one very good advantage. they have the direct teaching from Sakyamuni Buddha, understand? The Pali words are very accurate, understand? And the Orthodox tradition is very good. Anything not sure, they chop it off, understand? That's why end of the day, Theravada only very little left. But the very little you can understand actually better than all the rest, because that is the essence. So later on, when I compare the two, then I realize actually it's the same as what Sakyamuni taught, the five aggregate of form and mind. But they expand it until like very fantastic. Yeah. So now I explain. The first type of five consciousness, you know what are they or not? Yeah? You got five physical senses there. Yeah. That first five is seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, and tactile. Five already. Understand? And then the sixth one, you know what is it? No? Six consciousness. That is actually your perception. Understand? No? No different. Your perception. Those who did Surangama Sutta with me, they will know. The sixth consciousness is perception, because the mind has to be there for consciousness to arise. Understand? No? And to perceive what you see, you need this sixth consciousness, understand, who is responsible for perceiving. That's why perception brings the external form into the mind. So everything you see, you hear, you perceive that rupa within that consciousness and bring to mind. And this is the sixth consciousness. Understand? And the seventh consciousness is sankara. Understand? Sankara or mental activity, mental thinking and all those things. So the sixth consciousness is perception, sanya. Yeah? So it brings the external form into the mind. So when the mind perceives it, what happened? The memory gave meaning to it, understand? That's why the memory cling and hold. So this is what they call thinking, understand? So that thinking, the seven consciousness they talk about, is actually the mind, understand? Well, the mind is also an organ, understand? Understand? The five physical senses, organ. But the mind is the sixth sense, is also an organ, understand? It not only can perceive, it can function as an organ, understand? So what is the form that is in the mind? The perception in there. That's why when you bring that form in, the mind is an organ. What happened upon contact? Consciousness come to be. Correct? Huh? You can understand? Huh? Like seeing, color, shape, and form, contact with the eye as an organ, the mind is there, you become conscious of what you see. Correct? Huh? So the external form that brings the rupa into the mind is your perception. So six consciousness bring the form into the seven consciousness, that upon contact, trigger of consciousness, which is the eight consciousness, vinyanang. That's why the dependent origination already explained that, the 12 link, the Buddha already explained that. That's why seven consciousness is nothing, is it? They explain it like it's a mental organ. So upon contact, when did you make contact? When you perceive and think. The moment you think, you make contact in the mind, understand? That's why the 12 link dependent origin, avijja paccaya sankara, okay? Dependent on delusion and ignorance, you start to create mental activity and thinking. The moment you think, it's contact in the mind, understand? That's why it triggers what? Consciousness. So what is the third link? Avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vinyana. This is the eight consciousness, understand? Nothing special, understand? It's just understanding, understand? But they go and make it like it's a very big thing. And like this alaya consciousness, very difficult to understand. Storehouse consciousness, they say. Everything since your first birth until now, the eons and eons above and there, they are all stored there. That is what karma is all about, understand? That's why the storehouse consciousness is all of your karma, understand? Good and bad, understand? So it's nothing complicated. But when you don't understand, you go and cling and attach to the words and the name, then you become like, wow, this one very advanced, this teaching, very difficult to understand. Finally, it's still Theravada, I tell you. And that is the most authentic and most powerful. But without wisdom, Theravada is a lot of weak. Understand? You cannot even debate with people. They bring out a few terminology, you cannot argue already. You will lose the debate. That's what happened to India. That time, Chief Reverend always say this story. But that time, I was not ready to explain the Chief Reverend, because that time I was still quite new to the Dhamma. He always say what now? Buddhism, the Buddha Dhamma, started in India. And the Hindu was so powerful, you know what they did? They assimilate all his beautiful teaching into the Hindu, what they call religion. Then they kick Buddhism out of India. And they retain all the caste system, everything, but with the Dhamma inside there. So that's why the only difference is they have this Atman, super self, the true self, the ultimate self, the super Atman. So that is where the difference in the understanding of anatta and the atta, because to them it is something they want to believe their true nature, understand? Or they call it the ultimate me, the great Atman, understand? The true self, understand? As long as there is a self, you are gone. Because self create what? Ego. Ego create what? Evil root of selfishness, emotional negativity and fear. That's why when you hold to entity, when you want to become something, suffering will follow you. Because you are actually nothing. But yet, that nothing is everything. So that's why last Tuesday we had our sharing. Krishnamurti used that quote. March the 6th. He said, the me, which is the possession. He said, living being problem is, they want to own so many things. And everything they hold on to so tightly and dearly as their possession. They not only want to possess themselves, they want to possess others too, their loved one. Then not only possession is it. They want to hold on and attach to all their views and opinions. The non-materialistic thing, the non-tangible one also, they want to hold and they want to attach. So he said, not knowing that you are actually nothing. When you are nothing, who is there to attach and cling and hold when there is not what you think? That's why he said you must understand what is this human being all about. And who attached? That's why today I sent out one quote. How many of you have read Krishnamurti quote? Only one or two. You should read that quote. You know who is attached? The image that you create about yourself and what people do for you. You attached to that. That's why he said, when you say that, when they say you are an idiot, you become very angry. Why? Because you have the image that you are an engineer. You are a great guy. You are a spiritual guy. How can you call me an idiot? You attach. That's why you suffer. When they say you are beautiful, wow, you get carried away. Oh, you are so beautiful. You are really kind. Then you feel so good. So, who become excited? The image become excited. You never understand what is that form am I all about. That's why you get carried by all this. They call it the eight winds. They have power to influence you. They can cause you to oscillate between misery and joy, suffering and happiness. That's why living being is like that. When things go your way, oh, happy, jump for joy. When things don't go your way, when reality hit, miserable and sad. Is that what life is? Means what? You are very, very fragile and very vulnerable. Small thing can make you miserable. It's just like people can predict you, your emotion. Press that button, you cry already. or say some nice word, oh, happy already. So all this is the play of words. Then you don't understand what words are. That's why thought create what? Concept, words, and they divide. And cause all this conflict, misunderstanding, war, suffering, misery. All through what? Through thought. That's why you don't know how to arise the right thought. Wrong thought can really bring about chaos in this world, great suffering to the living beings. There's no way for power is about right thought. The user of thought is very important. So when you know user of thought is very important, what must you do? The user of thought must have wisdom, correct or not? Without wisdom, how can you arise right thought? That's why I said before you have the wisdom, don't try to do good. It's all good according to you, not through understanding. So that's why a lot of people say, sometimes they even complain to me, Brother Teo, I did so much good thing for my children and they treat me like that. They didn't even respect me. They even tell me off. And then I say, you have to go back and reflect and contemplate what is good according to you or what. Because when you don't understand them, you don't understand life, you don't understand yourself, how is relationship going to flourish? There is no relationship at all, understand? When you are selfish, they are selfish. Selfish people got a lot of emotional negativity and fear and possessiveness, understand? Craving, desire. Yeah. So how can the two have relationship when both are like that? Understand? Relationship can only come to be and flourish when there is harmony, when there is understanding, when there is love, when there is absence of negativity, and no evil roots. And then there is harmony, there is love. Then relationship become beautiful. Understand? I appreciate what you can contribute. You appreciate what I can contribute. I respect you for what you are. You respect me for what you are. There is no selfishness to deceive, to cheat, and to do all those funny things. Understand? Such a relationship will flourish and survive. And there is always joy. There is always love. There is always this appreciativeness. The opposite of it is what? Getting angry. Getting moody. When things go your way, you want it. When things don't go your way, you become emotional, angry. Then when certain things happen, fear arises, then you panic. So that type of relationship will fail because it's based on what? Selfishness. Based on the image I perceive of you and you perceive of me. When you are beautiful and young, can contribute, can make me happy, I love you. When that criteria is no more, the mind starts to become angry. Then sometimes when there is a breach of certain trust, jealousy coming, and there's an envy coming. And all this is the result of what? The deluded mind that don't have the Dhamma, the understanding. And this is what is happening in this world. That's why humanity or all of living beings, because there is no right understanding of life and wisdom. The evil roots are very strong. The hindrance of mind are very strong. And they tend to live their life heedlessly. And when you have heedlessness with another heedless one, what happened? The two heedless ones were clash, understand? Because they are not sensitive. They are not aware. They don't understand what is going on. Each trying to be right. Each trying to get things their way, understand? Because of what? Delusion. that condition the selfishness to own and to possess and to control. So all this is part and parcel of life, part and parcel of the teaching. So if you can really sincerely develop the spiritual faculty to cultivate the wisdom leading to the awakening, then your life will be beautiful. Then you are really very blessed. Then there is a lot of joy. Then your life becomes beautiful. Okay, I think I covered the question already. Anybody else got any other question or report meditation? Sui Anagot. Who? Go, Wendy, go. No problem, Don't worry, You need to go. You just excuse yourself. No problem. Did my car block your car? I parked behind somebody's car. I don't know whose car. Black car, small car. Not yours. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. After when you go out, you need to go. You let me know, because I came late. So I just parked behind one of the car at this corner, Suyang's house here. It's a small, I think black color if I'm not wrong. At night, show black. But neighbor can still go in and out, no problem. I only block one small car. So just to let you all know. So don't go and create wrong speech. Who the hell is this? So they call it what? What they use the word? I forgot the English word. Inconsiderate guy. Just fuck. That's why when you don't have the right speech, because you are so conditioned, isn't it? You tend to react like his grandfather's road. Just park where he like. Sometimes we just arise this type of wrong speech, understand? Why? Because of habitual tendency. And why do we say that? We think it's fun. Frivolous speech. You always think we are great, other people is inconsiderate. But if you understand the reason, then they explain to you, then you feel, oh, sorry, I have really totally misunderstood the guy. Luckily you got condition, I tell you first. That's why you don't think it's a minor thing. Sometimes it may not be my car, somebody else's car, but still treat it with understanding. Just go and find out, may I know whose car is this? I need to go now, you don't mind, move your car. So this is what they call sensitivity, courtesy, love. You no longer want to react to things, understand? But there must be a reason, otherwise why he want to be like that. Even though he is very inconsiderate, what they call selfish, so what? He is what he is, understand? I still accept him for what he is, understand? But you never know, If that guy got Dhamma, I tell you, you fatta. Because they will give you the blessing. And you never know. Then sometimes it can arise condition for you to know me more. Because I block your car. Then we can talk. We can communicate a little bit. I don't know whose car was that. I would like to say, my apology if I caused you any what they call trouble. So don't worry. I think it's one of the Kayanamitas car, not somebody else one. Otherwise it won't park like that. Okay, anybody else wants to ask any question or report the meditation? Don't be shy, I really say. Your question is not important. Is the condition that will arise for me to speak. You just have to ask sincerely. Whatever that you cannot understand and you want to develop the understanding, You just ask. But now with the clarity of meditation, your question will be very different. You will know how to ask the appropriate question. Pastor might do Ingby. Ingby got very good question. She know how to ask, yeah, she cultivate, that's why.
I have this feeling whenever if I come to practice here or in Huping Jingse. When after you rang the bell, I always have this feeling of not enough.
Yeah, correct.
How come I don't have this viriya at home when I have a lot of time? I don't sit as long as I wish.
Yes. Very good question.
Thank you.
Sadhu, I rejoice. You know why? Because spiritual faculty, when developed, also need condition to manifest. Understand? Because when you are here, Thursday class, Wu Ping Jing Se, the energy there is very strong. Understand? Then when I'm around, especially when I share, because of your faith, your spiritual faculty, you actually draw, and you already receive without knowing. That's why you always like not enough time, and so like you want it to be longer and all those things. This is very natural, because when the mind feel, the spiritual faculty draw. It's just like when you know something is developing inside, you feel very excited and you want this to go on. So it is a cultivation that has evolved to that state. Your good question is, how come at home I got a lot of time and yet I don't have this what they call virya to sit long and all those things. It's not to say you don't have or you have, because like I say, everything needs condition. So what you need is you have to develop this religious routine, which I believe you have started quite strongly. You have to develop this until it's very stable, very strong, until your daily mindfulness really dawn upon you. Then when you start to have more and more of this ability to insight into phenomena, insight into the reality of life and existence, then your understanding and wisdom will suddenly start to move. Then your panya, all of a sudden, you will start to understand a lot of the things that I shared with you and the Buddha Dhamma. Then when you read the Dhamma book, it's very different. At that time, you will have a lot of joy. Even at home, while you read, there is so much joy. Then by then, you have your own nature, your own energy. Then the author that you every time pay respect, the home base that you always do your meditation, the energy will become more and more potent, more and more strong. Then the non-human will know. They will come and support you. They will rejoice. Then these are Dhamma protectors. That's how you become different. Then that time when you cultivate, there is so much joy. Well, during my early years when I cultivate, I realized when I start to do that religious routine, actually it was my teacher, that Achanyantra. He was the one that told me, you must have a religious routine so that you can develop this heedfulness, mindfulness. That's why after I developed that, then I realized even my office, the room I sit in and the chair, that is there, the energy there is very strong, very powerful. And people come in, they know. Then of course my home, it's obvious because I also share the Tuesday class there, and I tell you, Sui An Hao has been tremendously charged ever since we started. Do you know here the energy is very strong? When you sit, very easy to sit on, and you silent very fast. And because Sui An and Mi Feng, they have strong faith, they have very strong affinity now because of faith. Then what they have done, actually very, very profound, what they call wholesomeness. That's why I rejoice a lot, because they have been doing great Dhamma Dutta work, understand? helping so many people. Yeah. And the most important is, when we started this class, that's why you should thank Ying Bie and me for. And this is really, you see the spin of it. It's not one person or two person. No. It's not only all those who came, or the non-human and all those things. And this understanding, together with the transcript, will filter down, and it will last quite a long time. And all this is because of our civilization. We have this recording and all those things, and it will become very useful. Because a lot of this understanding, the world has yet to evolve, understand? Even Krishnamurti, when he came, he was too early for his time. That's why many people cannot understand him. But those who have the Dhamma, they understand him. That's why I can share his quote and all those things. Then what I have developed through this life, this form of mind's understanding is another, what they call, movement that is beyond what they call Krishnamurti, Eckhart, and even Sakyamuni's core teaching. But wisdom-wise, I can tell you one thing. Till today, nobody can beat Sakyamuni. His teaching is fantastic. Very direct, very penetrating, and very powerful. Even Krishnamurti, all those things I read, not so complete, not so direct, and not so clear. That's why I say, no need to search. The Buddha Dharma is the most powerful, most direct, and most important teaching. You understand that, you understand all teaching. Because he summarized to us all of the, what they call, secret of life that you need to know. All of life, mundane and supramundane, until the very, very ultimate. All inside the Four Noble Truths, nothing else. And who can do that? Unless you are the Sama Sambuddha. That's why the year when I became like very serious was when I saw this Four Noble Truths for the first time in my life. I think in 1972 or 73, I forgot already. I started in 71. But when I received that book, Chief Reverend's first edition, What Buddhists Believe, the first edition, very thin book, red color. I opened up, then when I read the Four Noble Truths, there was so much joy, you know. Because actually, this life when I came, when I saw what my mother did, I didn't want to look at Buddhism. I thought, if that is Buddhism, forget about it. My mother go and ask Dean Dion. He go and offer on, can negotiate on with the Dean Dion. I offer you, you bless my family, you make sure my children healthy, pass exam and everything. Then I come and offer you more. What they should offer? Slaughter chicken. So when I saw that, I said, I don't know. For me, it's very straightforward. If religion like that can negotiate on and kill, that is not the religion I'm going to look at. And I never look at Buddhism. I didn't know I was Buddhism at that time. I went to all the other religions, but none of them can explain what I need to understand. So finally, 2 years later, I think, 73, earlier 73, lower six, somebody gave me a book, my classmate's sister, also Teo. Her name is Teo Bilin, I still remember. My classmate is Teo Chai Heng. He said, he called me by name, he said, I got this book, I give to you. You know why he gave to me? Because every time I at the house, I sit on, I meditate on my own. I also don't know how to meditate that time, but I like to sit alone, silent my mind. Then he saw me do that, he passed me the book. He said, I think this book will be useful to you. He just passed to me. And for the first time, you know, I saw a Dhamma book. Buddhist book written by K. Sridhamananda. Then when I turned on the pages, I saw what my mother did was Chinese traditional practice, nothing to do with Buddhism. Wow, I got a lot of joy. Then I start to read with interest. Then the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, inside, like I have understood this teaching before, then inside straight away tell me, no need to search already. That is it. Whoever 2,600, 500 over or 600 years ago can understand this truth and summarize all of it into Four Noble Truths just like that, he is the real one. You know why I say that? No? Because at that moment I already knew. No? Even if I can develop the wisdom like what the Buddha developed, the enlightenment, I cannot summarize all of my understanding into just four beautiful, simple truths that he called Noble Truth. Because of that, I knew. I said, it doesn't matter who the Buddha is, he is the real one. That's why after that, my faith is unshakable. Then I cultivate non-stop. Ever since that day. Then when I came to the university, first day only, I met him, the author of the book, K. Sridharananda. The first day, you know, when I registered in first college, that night, he had a talk in science faculty. And one of my classmates, actually, after dinner, he said, we just met that day. He's from Kuala Terengganu. I think Mi Fong know them. So Yi Chong. He was the one who asked me whether I free or not. Oh, I said, very free, first day, sure free. He said, I take you somewhere. He didn't even tell me where. No. Then I went with him. I didn't even know there was science faculty, you know, lecture theater. We walked there that night. And when I saw Chief Raymond came in, the first monk, a ball with the orange robe, I was full of joy. I haven't seen a monk before that time, apart from the Mahayana monk in the temple. But this Theravada one, and with the face smiling, and radiant. Your children, you know, the forehead here, very radiant. Then I was full of joy. And he speak perfect English, you know, very good English. You know, and so scientific some more. Wow, I listened that whole 1 hour. I was so absorbed in the talk. And he keep on pointing to the forehead here. No? He said, look inside, look inside. That time I didn't even know where the mind is. No? So that night I went back to the hotel. I know, to the hostel. Not hotel, hostel. I got a roommate who was a senior, third year. Wow, the hair, Efron style, band one. He is a third year student. Malay guy, but very good roommate. He is very nice. His name is Syed something. I remember. He and me become good friend. You know, I had to wait for him to sleep in there because otherwise, it's disturbing. So at about 10 o'clock, the light was off already. So I lie down on the bed, very eager to meditate. No, but cannot. Have to wait till he sleep. No? You know when I hear him snoring. Ah, I said, that is the time. Then I came up, I just crossed my leg. I don't know how to meditate. Then I just silenced my mind. Then I remember what Chief Raymond said, look inside. And that was what I did. You know. I looked inside. And that time, very funny, you know, my mind, like I can concentrate very easily. You know. My mind is already very clear at that time. Then when I look inside, I saw this white spot, no? White spot. Very clear. Then I can lock into it. Go there. Then I become very peaceful, very quiet. Then I remember, he said, look inside. I already look inside. What else? Then I know how to give it a push. No? The moment I give it a push, my whole consciousness went into another dimension. No? Then my whole mind like traveling into space, infinite space, keep on traveling up. There was no form and mind, no human being, nothing, just mind, just like that. Then I was so still, so full of energy. Then you know what happened? After a while, I released it and come out. To me, it was only like maximum half an hour only, I said. Then I came out of the meditation. I looked at the watcher, 4 a.m. And I was still full of clarity and energy. I cannot sleep. And the energy was with me for a few days. And I was first time in my life so calm, so still, and so peaceful. And there was so much joy. And I tell myself, I think this is meditation. But at that time, I didn't know. So after that, I keep on off and on do, because nobody teach me. Then I went to Brickfield, buy all the books. I read myself. Yeah. And I do think with understanding one. That's why I don't do without understanding. I just do. And it comes very naturally. So later on also, a lot of things just happen by itself. That's why later on when I reflect and look back, I realize it cannot be like that. It must be something from the past. Otherwise, how can like that? No reason. And a lot of things that happened to me, I check around, didn't happen to other people. And so many things. My wife know a lot of those things. But those are things like you cannot explain. You want to say I'm hella lucky? Yes, hella lucky, but nothing to do with luck. It's all from the past, condition. And everything just fall into place. Just fall into place. That's why I say you take care of your karma. Karma take care of you. And when you come, every life you come, you are beautiful. And this is something that is possible if you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, which is essentially Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching, Buddha Dharma. Okay, 10:30. Exactly, yeah. So if you have question, next time, you better write it down. Write it down, or you come here and ask. You see, questions are important, like what Ingbi asked just now, so that you can understand more. If you don't ask, I cannot explain. There are a lot of things that I can explain to you, and I understand. But without condition, it cannot come out. So you need to ask. And only this form of mind, this nature can share. Because for me, it is just a sharing. No right, no wrong. You don't have to believe what I say. You find out yourself. You go back, investigate and cultivate yourself. Then through that, you develop your own understanding. That is what I want you to do. So that you can progress and stand alone. You don't depend on anything. Understand? Yeah. Okay. This one, is it a request or what? Oh, who is this Lee Chu Kim?
Sorry, the first one is Lily. Lily is
the suggestion.
This one
is Lily. This one? Lily's father.
Yeah.
So oh, he passed away on Monday. Oh, okay. So then Sochu is second one, huh? Okay, maybe I just read this out, then we can help these people first. Okay, the first one is Lily's father, Lee. Oh, okay. Oh, she's living there. Oh, she's hoisted there, okay. Request sharing of merits with her father, passed away on Monday, Lee Chu Kim. Then Sochu also request, could I request for marriage to be also transferred to their security guard who was killed in a hit and run incident in the wee hour of Tuesday. Oh, also 2 days back, morning. It came to light upon his death that he was illegal because his agent took all his money and his passport. It was going to cost $6,500 to send his body back to Pakistan. In the end, the security company agreed to bear the cost. He was Ali from Peshawar, Pakistan. He had worked here for more than 5 years. He also went around to collect the monthly subscription. Despite being cheated, he never ran away with the collection. He was one of our best guards. Was killed on his way to pump petrol. The guard's motorbike between 1 to 3 a.m. in USJ 4. Thank you, Sadhu. So you see, if you are sincere, that goodness can bring about condition for people to help you. Eh? And this type of condition is very rare, understand? So actually, you may think he has met with untimely death and all those things. But to have this condition from one of the Kayanamita who can help, because the timing is such, our Tuesday class and the Thursday class, we can actually invoke some form of assistance and help to bring about better hereafter life for them. So, okay, we will recall to mind. One more. Oh, Metta to Elaine Tan. This one, 11 years old. Oh, I saw your email, leukemia, chemo. Okay, this one I will separate it out. Because this one is going through advanced leukemia chemotherapy. Okay, let us recall to mind. Yes. Together with Elaine, you can write his name. Write his name on this paper. Okay. We all should recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have cultivated today since 8:30 when we started. You have paid your respect to the Triple Gem. You have taken refuge. You have developed the spiritual faculties. You have actually mindfully developed the meditation and also mindfully pay respect to Lord Buddha. Then you have had this Dhamma sharing. You have listened to the Dhamma, straightened your view. Then you have rejoiced. Then you have retained a lot of metta too, I believe most of you. Then at the same time, we have actually cultivated a lot of wholesomeness. Almost all of the 10 meritorious actions, we are fulfilling it, because later on we will share merits and transfer merits to departed one, which can help all these people, the deceased and all those things. So shall we now rejoice in this wholesomeness so that we can invoke the power of this merit? We say sadhu 3 times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So by the power of this wholesomeness merits that we have cultivated since 8:30 until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this merit to be shared by Lily Lee's father, which his name is Lee Chu Kim, and also to that security guard that So Chu mentioned, Ali from Peshawar, Pakistan. May this wholesomeness and merits pave the way for them to have a better future life in whatever rhyme or existence they may be. May they all to be well and happy always. May the blessings of this wholesomeness pave the way for them to realize their good and noble wishes soon as possible. May it bring about causes and conditions for all living beings to also rejoice in this wholesomeness, and at the same time bring about more and more wholesomeness to all those deceased and departed ones. Okay, then after that, we will read it, Metta, to Elaine Tan, and this Mr. Supya Nadison, who will be doing a bypass. Elaine Tan, 11 years old. She will be doing advanced leukemia chemotherapy at UH tomorrow. So we will read it, Metta, to them, and at the same time invoke the power of wholesomeness and blessing. So by the power of all those wholesomeness that we have cultivated since 8:30 until now, may it also arise the causes and conditions for Elaine Tan and Mr. Supya Nadison to have a successful bypass and chemo therapy program so that they can recover to good health, so that they can get back their good life and be a blessing to many. Yeah. Okay, we will maybe radiate metta to them for about 2 or 3 minutes. Silent your mind, then recall to mind Sister Elaine Tan, 11 years old, yeah, and Mr. Supa Nadison, we just radiate metta to them. Yeah. May both of them do be well and happy, well and happy. May they all do be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Okay. Now we can do our closing puja. Yeah? Okay, we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sitiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one and those who can receive them, including to Sister Lily's father and the security guard. Itang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Itang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Itang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Let this marriage accrue to departed relatives and Sister Lily's dad and this Ali security guard from Pakistan, and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vastatukalena sasa sampatihetocha vito bhavatu lokocha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest always. May the world be peaceful and prosperous. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous always. Okay, now we will make the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.